Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Don't label us left or right.
We are American.
Not looking for a war, but we came to fight.
We are American.
Somebody's gotta stand up.
Stand up.
Somebody's gotta do what's right. We're rising cause we're fed up. Got our house in order and got yours inside.
Good morning, Sovereign Minds, as we run to the microphones, accidentally didn't have my clock set right this morning, so I thought it was 8 o'clock instead of 9 o'clock, so I ran out the door, and wow, what a rush to get here.
It's Sunday morning.
Good morning, Shasta County.
Did you like not set your clock ahead a couple of weeks
ago? No, I did. I actually set it. It was actually set back. Remember, spring forward, fall back, or, you know, whatever. And evidently, I didn't set the computer clock properly. So I was sitting here coasting, getting ready for the show, and I looked down, and it's 8 o'clock. And then Linda says, "You only got 10 minutes. What are you doing?" 10 minutes? I got an hour and 10 minutes. No.
Oh, well.
Anyway,
you know, things happen.
We made it. We had the big fundraiser last night, and you know, I guess I'm trying to catch my breath from that. But anyway, you're listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, and my name is Mark Kent, and I'm your host once again. And we would like to thank all of the people at the fundraiser last night who were there, who help support this radio station and keep us on the air. And we will hope and try our best to live up to your expectations to give you the news and the reporting and the editorialized journalism that, you know, you're not getting locally. That's for darn sure. We'll go through the headlines. You'll see what I'm talking about. Anyway, Sunday, March 22nd, I'm here in the studio with my sister, Linda.
Good morning.
She does all the heavy lifting. And Bob Martin, our soundboard operator, trusted producer, and all-around great guy.
Good morning, Mark and Linda.
And
good
we also have a special guest here, too, that's going to stick over for a little while and with us, and it's Red Smith. We'll talk about CARB. But first, I think we've got George Runner. We're going to be talking about the fire tax. And good morning, Red.
Morning.
I guess
morning.
I should say that before we move on. I'm kind of on a mile.
Long time
a minute.
No see.
It's been a marathon the last couple of days for all of us.
I'll tell you what. The only thing I want to do is go try the gator out.
No. My wrong gator. Answer.
It's everybody's gator.
It was everybody's gator last night. Hey, what are you going to do? When are you going to deliver my gator? I got that from like about 30 people. I don't know. I guess when we pull your winning ticket.
Yeah. Well, you know, and then Wind River came to me and they said, one guy thought that we were selling their gator, and it's like, well, that's a nice thought. You want to pull yours in, too, and we'll sell it, you know?
Double down.
Dueling gators. Yeah.
Two-jawed
alligator. Is George on the line?
He's right here.
Oh, very good.
Good morning, George.
Good morning, George. Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's okay.
Been quite a morning here. Listen, you know what? How are you doing down there at the Capitol? I mean, how's things going?
Well, you know, it's always a crazy place. You know, it's not so much what happens at the Capitol. It's all these people that come from all over the state to represent their constituents that end up at the Capitol.
Probably shouldn't say all over the state. It's probably the lower half of the state because the few guys from Harp End that trickle in are probably not much matter of that much considering the numbers anymore.
Well, that's true. And again, in the L.A. area and the Bay Area, it unfortunately makes up for a lot of strange policy issues.
Yeah, well, that's why this is where Red's supposed to chime in and say that's why we need it's time for 51.
Well, it is time for 51.
Yeah.
You know, we're tired of playing football 1-11.
Yeah, that's true. So anyway, George, maybe you can, you know, while I got you here and Boy, I thought I was really prepared for you this morning until I ran out the door at the last minute. But
well, maybe we should at first let the people know who George Renner is.
Well, that's kind of okay. Where I was going. Yeah, right. Could you tell us about yourself, George?
Sure. I'm a member of the State Board of Equalization. I represent up to the Oregon border, so all the North State. The way that our districts work, there's only four of us that are elected across the state, so that means the districts are very large, and my district then is the district that has basically all the mountain and desert to it. So it means it starts way down in Southern California and then works its way all the way up to the Oregon border. About 65% of this land mass of the state of California is in my district, and California is unique. It's the only state that has this elected tax board where we deal with issues that deal with appeals, people who feel like they've got a tax issue that they don't think they've been treated fairly in. We also deal with creating policy when it comes to the legislature and trying to implement a policy issue. And we deal with constituent services, and that is when people are just stuck in a problem that they have with whether they're the State Franchise Tax Board or the Board of Equalization or one of the other tax agencies. We assist constituents through that process. So that's our role. We get to help taxpayers every day, and that's what we like to do.
Well, and I kind of want to emphasize that, because in my business, being a tax consultant, and you know, we've actually had to defer several things to your office because you guys are the appeal guys. In other words, if we can't settle with the Franchise Tax Board or other departments in the State Board of Equalization on sales tax or whatever it happens to be the case, that it does get appealed to you guys on the Board of Equalization, and you do have the final say unless we go to court.
That's correct. Right. The only option after we make a decision would be if the individual taxpayer feels like they need to go ahead and take it then to a court action. And again, my opinion in this process is it's always good for taxpayers to be able to come to a panel of their peers, as opposed to sometimes, you know, what we see as, you know, tax accountants or attorneys who, I don't think do a good job understanding the unique circumstances that taxpayers oftentimes find themselves in.
Well, you know, and things are out of control, there's no question, especially in the state of California. And, you know, one of my pet peeves is that $250 penalty on the $25 filing,
statement of information.
Yeah, statement of information on domestic stock. I mean, how outrageous is that, where, you know, if you miss the deadline, they charge you, 1,000% on your penalty. I mean, what do you think about that?
Well, again, unfortunately, you get some of these laws that get into place, and the legislature just, is steadfast. I know, for instance, one of the issues that we're dealing with actually got changed last year was the same kind of a penalty. We actually got a law change in the legislature, which was a huge penalty on the fire fee. If you became delinquent in your fire fee, you were having a 25% per month fine. That we were able to get that changed.
So you have a say on policy in the legislature going in. You guys implement some legislation, right, so that you can get things changed for the better.
Well, what we can do is two things. Number one, we can sponsor legislation to try to change the law, or we can try to interpret the law. My goal is to interpret the law as broad as possible to assist the taxpayer.
So you're saying when you're one of the good guys down in Sacramento?
Well, we believe we are.
we do too. We do too, George. We you've been over to the Tea Party, and we've talked several times, whether you know it or not. And you probably wouldn't recognize me from the Tea Party, but they say I look like a truck driver. But
well, you know, I mean, we're sponsoring. For instance, we have fire fee issue, and again, I'm opposed to fire fee. I'm involved with a court action against the fire fee. We hopefully are going to get a hearing here in the next couple of months on that particular issue. But yet we're also sponsoring a piece of legislation, and this is a very simple piece of legislation. When the fire fee was implemented, people had 30 days from the date of their notice mailed in order to pay the bill or make their appeal. Well, that's just not a reasonable amount of time. And so we're sponsoring a bill. Even, you know, again, we don't want the fire fee. We want to go away. But while it's still in place, we still need to make it as helpful and as reasonable as possible. So we're trying to get that 30 days to 60 days.
Well, I mean, go ahead.
I was going to say that's important because if you don't file your appeal on time, which is within that period of time, and the court does throw out the fire fee and say that it's unconstitutional or it's illegal, you would not be able to get your fee back.
Well, I mean, isn't it really taxation without representation? Isn't that really what we're talking about here? Because this was voted overwhelmingly by the southern parts of the state. And when I say southern parts, I'm including San Francisco because they're not Northern California as far as I'm concerned.
Well, not a single Jefferson representative voted for it.
Right. No. No, and none of that, but many of the folks in Southern California didn't vote for it either. It was done. It was basically an illegal tax because it was done with a simple majority vote bill, even though it was clearly a tax, and that is really the core of what's before the court. Because they knew they couldn't get 2/3 approval. And in fact, we've even had, some efforts with some Democrats who have sought to change it too, but unfortunately the vast majority, doesn't want to go there. And, you know, it's just a bad tax all around. It makes some terrible assumption as to who's responsible and why. Most of those, in fact, 95% of the people who pay that tax already pay a firefighting fee. They have their own fire districts. And, you know, as we've talked about before, there's not one dime that goes to fight fires in that tax. And so
it's really not a fire tax then, really. It's a general tax under the guise of a fire tax to go into the general fund.
Well, in theory, what it's supposed to do is provide money for fire prevention programs that were already in place prior to the fee of the tax being put in place. And it was put in place to try to save the general fund a few years ago when the general fund was struggling. So
listen, it
makes no sense.
Listen, George, let's talk some more about the fire tax, but first we got to take a break for our sponsors here real quick.
Okay. So. Okay, if you want to call in and have a question or a comment for George, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460. I'm with the Blue Fire Media.
The network wants to treat me right. Y'all can take the change and stick it out of sight. Don't tread on me. Don't you tread on me. Hey, are you ready for some good news? We're gonna take back our country.
Thanks to citizens like you and your contributions to StandAndFightClubInc.com, January 30th and 31st, the first steps were taken to push back the California Air Resource Board and their regulations that are devastating the California economy. But now is not the time to give up the fight. Now is time to double down. Go to StandAndFightClubInc.com and you keep the contributions going and we'll keep the punches coming.
Hi, this is Dr. Maria Salas, local Reading chiropractor, and
Josie Salas Tynan, holistic health practitioner. Join us on the Positively Healthy Show, where twins talk health. Listen on the first, third, and fourth Saturdays of the month as we talk about health, lifestyle, fitness, and so much more. Streaming on KCNR1460.com from 10 to 11 a.m. We keep you up to date locally and globally. Find out how you can become positively healthy.
If you are running your own business, you already know that if there are 1,000 items on your to-do list, you really have 3,000 things to get done. Success in business is in the details. You need help. Let the smart professionals at Five Star Bank help you take care of those financial details. Yes, smart people doing good business. Life is 10% of what happens to us and 90% of how we react to it. Be positive. Those at the top of the mountain did not fall there. Visit us at Five Star Bank and let us show you how we specialize in emerging business and commercial real estate. Five Star Bank also specializes in hard work, working hard for those that believe that success is just on the other side of the next opportunity. Thomas Jefferson was a great believer in opportunity, for he found that the harder he worked, the more he had of it. Your time is as valuable as your success. So visit us at Five Star Bank, 358 Hartnell in Reading, or call Eric Woodstrom at 223-6652. Online at fivestarbank.com. Five Star Bank, Professional, progressive, and personal. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame. I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
This is Carl on the Bot. Join us Monday through Friday from 7 to 9 a.m. for Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, the People's Voice. On Monday, Linda and I welcome Dr. Tyson Adams. Listen to the story about a medical student and now a doctor who has $500,000 in college loan debt. His salary does not pay the interest on this. Find out how he's going to dig out of this, or is he going to dig out of this? All of this on Monday right here, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Miss a day, miss a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Just not going to take it anymore. We're done. We're going.
Yep. We stopped taking it a while now.
We're in the middle of this is a revolution of sorts. Let's keep it peaceful, but at the same time, we can't let this stuff.
No,
keep happening.
We're not going to take it anymore, and we're exposing the people for what they are, the truth of what's going on.
With that, we have one of the good guys on the line with us,
yes,
George Runner, and we're talking about the fire tax. And you know, I actually talked to one of the guys that work at CDF the other day, and he's up there. He goes down to Sacramento all the time and sees what's mm-hmm. going on in the legislature. And he says, almost to a man, the people at the CDF hate this because they've become the targets. People are throwing rocks at them as they go by, and it's sad. I mean, it's another division. You know, these are the politics of division where, you know, get everybody fighting against themselves instead of looking at the true problem down there inside.
Well, yeah, and the CDF guys, they don't like it. The other folks who don't like it are the folks that are managing those fire districts. And you know, they're trying to, you know, talk to their folks about why it is they might need to buy a new fire truck or hoses or whatever. And unfortunately, then people say, like, I'm already paying that fire fee. Why do I need to pay more? And unfortunately, what that means is they're not getting the kind of fire protection that they need because they think they're getting it for this fire fee and they're not getting one dime of help out of that. So, you know, I'm hoping we get this cleared up with the court, and it doesn't make any sense. It's a bad bill, it was a bad bill in the beginning, and we just need to kind of figure out how to get through it. And I think hopefully the judges who are going to deal with this will see that this was just a wrong-headed way to deal with California. And again, you know, we think about it as a rural area, but there are a lot of areas that are unincorporated that are next to urban areas that are having to pay this too. It's just very, very wrong, and we're going to work at it.
Well, where does the tax money go? You know, as far as the percentages, do you have any idea? I mean, they say it's not a tax; they say it's a fee. But if it goes into the general coffers and pays administration or whatever it does, you know, Red was just telling me here that it was
the numbers that we got from Associated Press out of. I believe $72.4 million collected in the fire fee. Every year, $50 million of it goes straight into the general fund, and then another about 14% comes off the top for administrating the program.
Right. It's one of the most expensive. It's one of the most expensive fees and taxes for us to collect because it's a small amount. And so to try to follow up on people with a small amount is why it costs that much money to protect. And what happens is the money goes into, not directly into the general fund, it basically goes in to backfill programs that used to be in the general fund. And quite frankly, a lot of them were programs that were going to local governments for fire prevention programs, and they're not even being efficiently given back out to those programs as they were before when it was just a part of the general fund. So, it's a bad idea all the way around.
Or it gets the fund of high speed rail to nowhere. Anyway,
that's a whole other problem that we've got. You know, if you can imagine, every one of those folks up there and all across the state, you know, are paying, on the carbon tax, a hidden tax on every gallon of gasoline to help pay for the high speed rail. Outrage.
Now you're in my wheelhouse.
Well, we have a caller on the line. Todd in Plumas County, are you with us this morning?
I'm here.
You have a question or comment for George?
Yeah, I attended the Cal Fire meeting in Quincy where they were explaining what they were going to do with the money. And it seems to me if you're, it's a fire prevention fee, all residents of California benefit from that. So all the people should be paying that fee. Because the way they explained it is, it's to prevent these catastrophic wildfires is their main goal. These humongous wildfires that happen. So they want to go on to private properties and tell you which little trees and brushes to cut down. You need to cut down to prevent these catastrophic wildfires.
Right.
And the cost of fighting those, catastrophic wildfires.
I think for most of us who live in the area, we already have access to people who will come out to your private property and tell you what you need to do.
We don't need Cal Fire to come out and do it.
Right, yeah. Let me get your answer real quick because we're running out of time. A couple of things. Number one, I believe the people who actually live in that area know how to manage their properties. They're the ones who really want their properties protected. They're the ones who have higher insurance rates if they don't do it right. So they are motivated. Most of the issues that we come across in regards to fires up in the north area are either lightning strikes or they're people from the city who do not know how to deal with, you know, a campfire or a cigarette out the window. That's what's mistaken about why it is that in regards to fee. And as we know, not a dime of this fee goes for fire prevention for lightning strikes. There's no way to deal with that in terms of a fire prevention fee. So that's why the whole issue is just wrong. I appreciate the fact that everybody should be paying it, but my opinion is nobody should be paying it.
Yeah.
The reason why we want to fight fires, for instance, in the back areas of Trinity County or some of those other counties up there, is because it's for protection of watershed. That watershed isn't for people up in the north area. That watershed is for people in the Southern California area. And they should be the ones who understand the importance of protecting that watershed, not those who probably care for their property, you know, first place anyhow.
Wow. You know, it's just amazing to me that, you know, how far we've fallen here. You know, you got the guys down in Southern California that are not paying anything on this thing, receiving the benefit of everything. And then acting like we're the redheaded stepchild that, should be punished for all of this.
Right. And that's absolutely, this was clearly a case where they could muscle through it because, again, they could go to the few to pay to benefit the most. And it was just wrong. And, again, I hope the court can see through that. And that's why we're involved in a lawsuit.
So tell me, I know you have just a limited amount of time, but catch us up to speed on the lawsuit. Where exactly are we at in the lawsuit?
We're getting very close to the first hearing, which the Attorney General was dragging her feet in the process. Yet we're getting very close. We think in the next couple months we actually will have our first public hearing, our first hearing in court as they're going through the briefs now. So we're getting real close. But again, the state is just so slow at providing information in order for a case to be heard. But eventually they have to. I mean, you can't, eventually you have to. So we'll get there.
Well, you know, let's hope we get a judge who's going to, you know, see the merits of the case as far as, you know.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I mean, and then what if that goes bad, where do you appeal? Go to the up the line to Supreme Court or something?
Right, you go right up the career. Yeah, I mean, that's what you'd end up doing. So we'll see.
Which,
I mean, again,
which court is the case with?
Pointed out.
Yeah, where's
it wouldn't be the first time. Wouldn't be the first time the legislature got slapped around for being overly aggressive with a tax that or a fee that was a tax.
And this is the Ninth Circuit?
No, well, right now it's a trial court. Okay. So eventually it would. It's not a federal case, so it would never. It wouldn't go to the Ninth Circuit. It would all be within the court system, the California state court system.
Yeah. Okay. So what's that? We're at Superior Court.
We go to the Superior Court, and then a Court of Appeals, and then eventually to the California State Supreme Court.
I see, and then from there up. Okay. But, yeah. It's just confusing sometimes. There's so many different court, jurisdictions
circuits.
It's hard to tell where you're going. So, how do you feel about it? You feel pretty good about it as far as the.
Well, I think the arguments are right. It wouldn't be the first time a court made a bad decision either. So, you just need to be able to prepare that. Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association. Are in the lead. They've been there before. They've made their arguments before, and they've been successful before. So we'll hope that once again they'll be able to do that.
Well. Lastly, what can people here do to help? What can people do to help you, George, to win this case or whoever? I mean, what can the local people that are being affected by this
thing,
the most?
The first thing I would remind people, I think this is going to be in the court system. What I want to do is remind people as they get that bill, and unfortunately you're about ready to get another one, make sure you do the appeal. Don't forget to do the appeal every time, because if you don't, you will not be able to get your money back once the courts overrule it. So I just remind people to go ahead and make sure that you follow all your administrative path in order for you to get your money back when the courts respond to this. That's really important for folks to understand. I'm actually sponsoring a bill that changes the law that says once a law becomes looked at as illegal or unconstitutional, people automatically get their money back. Right now, that's not the law in California. If you have not filed your appeal correctly, you wouldn't get your money back, even if it was deemed unconstitutional.
What if you don't pay? What if you don't pay in the first place, George? I mean, what if you just say, "Hey, I've had enough. I'm not paying you guys anymore," and they overturn this? Are you okay then?
No. Unfortunately, what happens is any of the fees or any of the issues that you would have built up would then be due. So we just encourage
the
best way to do it is follow the appeal. And respond to it that way.
Why can't we put something in the law and the legislature that says that if it's an illegal tax and you don't owe it in the first place, how can they still collect it?
Well, that's what my bill does. My bill basically says that. We tried that bill last year too, and we got held up in one of the committees. We reintroduced that bill that basically says once California's courts have identified something as illegal or unconstitutional, people get their money back. Regardless as to whether or not they made an appeal.
I see.
And, it makes sense. It's
okay, just, yeah, that makes sense to me.
The law should be.
Yeah, that makes sense because then it null and voids it, period.
Right. And again, you may have a law, you may have a tax that you didn't know was illegal, and the court found out it was illegal, and you didn't even know to appeal it.
Right.
And then to not get your money back, that's just wrong.
Right.
Yeah. We shouldn't have to worry about it if it's illegal.
Well,
it should be automatic.
Right.
Not only that, why should everything default to the government? I mean, anytime if the government's
Absolutely.
Wrong, it's wrong for it to just default that you pay.
This is a clear default to government. If it was a private sector business that was doing this, they'd be hauling them off to court somewhere and getting it fixed. So this is just default to government. The law allows government to make a mistake and people to pay for it. And that's just wrong.
That is wrong.
Very good. So,
hey, one other thing before I need to do, we do business seminars too, and we have one coming up in Reading.
Okay.
On April 22nd, sponsored by myself and your legislators up there. I'll be up there for that. And this is just helping businesses know how to deal with tax agencies successfully. Because ultimately, we need businesses to stay in business. And help them at that point. And so we have a seminar up there on April 22nd. If people would like more information about that, you can go to georgerunner.com. It says there's an issue there about, I would like tax help. they can just ask, you know, about, hey, tell me about the seminar on April 22nd. If you're a permittee with the state of California, you're going to get information about this seminar. But we do these across the state in order to, again, help people be successful. We don't want people to get caught up in confusing tax laws and then inadvertently then do something wrong and then lose their business. That's wrong for everybody. And so we've got one coming up in Redding, and we want to make sure people are aware of that. We're going to be at the Redding City Council Chambers on April 22nd, and we'd be glad to help people know what's going on and answer questions in regards to this. It's not only the Board of Equalization, but we bring along with us folks like the Franchise Tax Board, the EDD dealing with employment issues, and the IRS. So, again, it's a good place for businesses to understand how they need to conform, what they need to do in order to be successful.
Well, I'll tell you what, we better stem the tide because businesses are leaving in droves. But, I mean, when you look at the tax structure, you look at CARB, you look at, cap and trade and all this stuff, the end Agenda 21 stuff that they won't talk about that is being implemented. I'll tell you what, I mean, California is starting to implode.
You know, it's pretty tough when it is that people can find themselves moving out of the state when they have resources and they're able to do that, say, hey, I'm putting this stuff behind me. I don't need to do that. So I was just talking to a friend of mine yesterday. In fact, he's a car dealer, and he's saying, I'm 2 years from leaving. It's just incredible. Again, that we've set up this environment, and we've got a great. We have a wonderful state. We have a state with great draw to it. Great, the golden sure. state that people were drawn to 60, 70 years ago is still physically the same. It's all the bad policy that's been created
that's right.
that has repelled people back to other places, which is unbelievable to many of us that, came here, 30, 40, 50 years ago.
I mean, I love California. I was born here. I was born in Yreka. I mean, what it gets to me is that the guys down there that don't get this don't understand that if all the businesses implode and leave the state or the economy becomes so bad that you can't make a living here, what do they think is going to happen to their tax revenue down there? What do they think is going to happen to their utopian state that they're trying to promote here? The whole thing's going to fall apart.
Well, eventually people will learn you can't take money from other people forever and do things that you want to do with it that they don't want. Eventually that will not work.
I think what I'm going to do is play that back, and that's going to be a quote we're going to put on my website from George Runner. that was brilliant. That was awesome.
George, again, where did you say they could go get more information at georgerunner.com?
Georgerunner.com is my website. You get information on that. Also, I should say CalFireFee.com is also where people get the newest information on the fire fee. That's another one of our websites. It tells people how to do their appeal. So that's CalFireFee.com. And then if you want tax information or, if you're having a tax problem and you need some help, just go to GeorgeRunner.com. And there's a little button there that says, I need tax help. You can just put in your question and we'll get back to you. Because, again, we have staff that want to solve people's tax problems. We're glad to do that.
I have a quick question. Is it
sure.
true that they're actually expanding the fire fee to include all outbuildings, not just habitable outbuildings now?
I don't know of any law that's doing that. The law is pretty specific in regards to inhabitable structures. So that would take, I believe, a law, a change of the statute. And I'm not aware of any bill that does that. So I if you've got information on that, let me know because
I had heard rumors in several different counties of that, but I hadn't seen anything to back it up. That's why.
If you hear anything, let us know, because that would be an interpretation of the law that CAL FIRE would have to be doing, which it seems to me is way outside what the statute says.
Very good. Listen, nice. Where are we at here? I think we got to go to a break, George, and I'm assuming that you have to go as well.
I do, but I appreciate the time to talk about these things. I'd be glad to come do it some more.
Absolutely.
All right, well,
we appreciate
thanks again.
You.
And with
okay,
that,
hey.
Go ahead.
Have a great day up there.
All right.
You too.
Thanks, George. We'll talk to you soon.
With that, I guess we'll go to a break. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR 1460.
Safari Club International, the leader in protecting the freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. On Saturday, May 2nd, join the Reading chapter for their 21st annual banquet to raise funds so the vital work of protecting our hunting heritage and educating youth can continue. Beginning at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Event Center, join a fun-packed evening with games, auctions, drawings, lots of guns, and your choice of a tri-tip or chicken dinner. Safari Club International of Reading is currently planning hunts regionally and for African game, and you can find out about these and all the activities of SCI and have a great time Saturday, May 2nd. For tickets, visit scireading.org or call 530-524-3252. That number again, 524-3252. The 21st annual fundraising banquet for the Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International. Tickets, 524-3252.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, April 2nd in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. You'll hear Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and special guest Joe Larson on trombone. Oh yeah, and me, Linda Bott, on vocals. Join us as we swing to some of the best music from the American Songbook, 7 to 9 p.m., April 2nd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Turtle Bay's 23rd Annual Spring Plant Sale is April 3rd and April 4th. Our ever-popular heirloom vegetables are a main feature of this spring plant sale, and they sell out fast. Turtle Bay members have their very own pre-sale on Friday, April 3rd. The public sale is on Saturday, April 4th. Turtle Bay members will get a 30% discount, and non-members get 20%. Plus, you can get free gardening advice throughout the day from our Arboretum and Botanical Garden staff and volunteers. For more information, visit turtlebay.org. Turtle Bay Exploration Park. Isn't it wonderful?
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Reading Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
Hey, this is Carl Bott here to tell you about the good folks at Muse Concrete. Boyce and Joan Muse, along with their fantastic crew, have been bringing homes, parks, stadiums, and so much more to the Reading community for over 3 decades. Muse Concrete is also proud to bring exciting programs like Destination North State, high school football, and Reading Colt 45's baseball to the airwaves right here on KCNR 1460. Muse Concrete, an uncompromising commitment to quality and integrity since 1982. Check them out online, museconcrete.com. Great people doing great work.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
I
high-speed train to nowhere. We got the crazy California Environmental Protection Agency, a.k.a. the Air Resources Board. That's what we're going to be talking about next. That's why we asked Red to stay in here with us. And, you know, I mean, tell, you know, it's well, like.
Before we do that, I wanted to let the people know about George Renner. He said on April 22nd, he is going to be at the City Council Chambers. It's from 9 to 2:30 p.m., just to throw it out there so people know.
There you have it. So let's get back on CARB here, or I guess go to CARB. You know, and we just talked about this coordination and major federal deal here. These guys are above the law, is what they think. They can do whatever they want. I mean, talk about this coordination thing that's going on right now, Red, and how these guys flip flop on the issues. One day they're this, one day they're that.
Well, a lot of what's going on with CARB and over the proceedings that have been taking place, trying to get some pushback on CARB. The things that we have discovered, it has gone from trying to take action against a heavy-handed government agency to the point that we're looking at dismantling an international ongoing criminal organization. And, I mean, that may sound like a lot, but when you hear some of the things that we have to say and we've discovered, you're going to understand where we're coming from. The whole premise that we've started on is that any government agency that wishes to conduct a major federal action, such as CARB with their filters and their cap and trade programs, are subject to coordination with the local governments. They have to bring themselves into compliance with local policy and local intent. They have failed to do that.
So when you guys initiated the coordination, they basically said, ah, we're not subject to this coordination because it's not a federal major federal action. You know, the law doesn't apply to us because we're not doing anything wrong.
That's exactly what happened is the city of Redding filed a letter demanding coordination from California Air Resource Board, and they responded, we are in no way carrying out a major federal action. We are not a federal agency. Therefore, we are not subject to coordination. Yet 2 weeks ago, there was another lawsuit brought against CARB in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals saying that acting as a state agency, they are violating interstate commerce laws because they are subjecting tariffs on interstate commerce. And CARB's defense was, well, we're not subject to that because we're carrying out a major federal action. They're playing the hokey pokey. It's 1 foot in, 1 foot out.
Yeah, so we is when we want to and we ain't when we don't.
And this is nothing new with these type of agencies, it doesn't seem like.
So who filed the coordination? Was that the full city council?
That was the full city council, 5-0 vote to go after coordination with CARB.
I'm shocked.
And since then we've been able to bring on other agencies. Over the testimony, we've had supervisors from MoDoc County, Shasta County, Del Norte County. We've had city council members from Shasta Lake City, Redding, Anderson, and then last week we had another hearing. We had 3 days of evidence presented, and we were able to bring on people from Solano County, the city of Acaville, Fairfield, Suisun City, and there was quite a few of these guys that really didn't understand the depth of what was going on, and once they sat there and listened to the testimony,
wow,
they're kind of rabid foam at the mouth at CARB now.
Well, and, I mean, they were actually testing kids down there in UCLA and USC,
yep. Well,
you know, shoving particulates up their noses. And before we go there, I have to say one thing. Not that I've ever been critical of the city council here, tongue-in-cheek.
Mm-hmm.
But, hey, at least they got this one right.
They did get this one absolutely right.
So I give them kudos. I want to praise them when they do something right, but we don't want to let when they do something wrong just go.
Well, that's now that the findings of these two evidentiary hearings are wrapping up, the information that we have come across and the evidence that has been presented, by the time we're done filing our findings, it may be a shorter list of laws that CARB hasn't violated.
Boy, does this sound familiar with different things?
It's like, you know, Mikey, I never wanted this for you.
So even with those findings, where does it go from there?
The findings will be going to pertinent district attorneys for different things. The U.S. Attorney General, it'll be going to the Congress and different committees that is actually asking them to defund any kind of EPA program that supports CARB. And it'll also be seeking an injunction against CARB until they come into compliance with state and federal regulations.
So when we say criminal organization, we're not really playing or pretending. And, you know, that's not just, oh, gee, us throwing stones. I mean, there's evidence here of major malfeasance.
Major.
You know, I mean, maybe you can expand on that just a little bit here.
Well, where to start? Okay, well, one of the first things that CARB has done, by failing to coordinate, they have violated the law. And there is criteria that holds CARB to that standard. One of those is do they accept federal funding? Well, yes, they do. Okay, you're automatically now subject to coordination. Are you carrying out a major federal action? Well, CARB is acting on the Federal Clean Air Act. Okay, now you're carrying out a major federal action. There's all these criteria that come into play that subjects them to coordination. They have refused to do that. That is a violation of federal law.
Okay. Well, I'm looking at a report here from Cornwall Alliance for the Stewardship of Creation. I'm not sure how liberal these guys are. I would guess that they probably are. But top liberal law professor condemns EPA as a power grab. Now, isn't that really what this whole thing is
about?
That's
absolutely what this is. Okay, so we've got our first violation. The findings have shown that CARB is subject to coordination. The next one that we have is the data, okay? All of the data that all of these regulations and fines and fees and all these taxes and cap and trade are founded on is founded on a scientific study on small particulate matter, okay? Now, there is criteria to what establishes that as confirmed science. CARB has failed to uphold those standards. They failed to follow those regulations, and there's another federal act known as the Data Quality Control Act. And the Data Quality Control Act states that all scientific studies and data must be open, transparent, available, and easily reproducible by an independent third party. The United States Congress, seven separate times, has subpoenaed the data from CARB and EPA, and they've refused to present that information. That is a violation of the Data Quality Control Act, and according to the guidelines of that act, it's stated that any data that is not presented is to be considered fraudulent. So they've taken this evidence that is to be considered fraudulent and gone before the Congress of the United States and appropriated federal funds on fraudulent information. That's a criminal offense chargeable with up to 10 years in prison.
Wow, maybe somebody needs to go to prison over this thing, because, I mean,
or several
people. We got Mary Nichols down there as one of them, and then there's another scientist who got his mail order degree from someplace.
From Thornhill University, the guy that was guiding the science and supporting the science and basically putting his credentials on the line for the science, turns out, was never a PhD. He spent $1,000 to purchase a degree through the mail from a place called Thornhill University. And his expertise do not lie in epidemiology, which is the study of how they find these findings. And basically what this study breaks down to is they have declared that small particulate matter is an absolute cause of premature death. And how they have made these findings, it originally took the guy that did the study 9 different attempts to find a model that would fit CARB's demanded criteria. Now, how they do that is they get a baseline of what's average for deaths in a community a day. Is, 15 people die a day, 50 people die a day. Then they go through and they highlight any day that there was a higher number of average deaths. Then they look at the air quality on that day, and any day that the air quality was lower, that there was a higher number of deaths, those higher number of deaths are automatically found to be due to air pollution. Okay. Now, to really bring this home, September 11th, 2001, there was a high number of extra deaths in New York City. Okay, there was also a very poor air quality day. Now, the high number of deaths were due to the fact that maniacs flew airplanes into the World Trade Centers, and the poor air quality control was due to the fact that the World Trade Centers collapsed and there was all kinds of toxic materials floating around. But according to CARB, those extra deaths are to be attributed to small particulate matter.
Well,
that's how they do their science.
I guess there's a lot of small particulate matter floating in the air after you blow up several buildings and they fall and collapse.
Well, and
I'm not sure it had anything to do with diesel particulates.
No, and what we're talking about here is people suspect truthiness. It is probably the best word I can use for it. A lot of people think, oh, yeah, breathing diesel fumes is probably bad for you.
Sure.
But what are we talking about when you actually look at the science of it? We're talking about 0.25 micron diesel particulate matter. Now, Dr. James Instrom, who has heavily studied CARB science and data and actually presented that data and said, look, all of this is bogus. CARB's data is bogus. He was actually fired from his job at UCLA over this. He's been attacked by the system. He recently won his court case and was reinstated at UCLA because of what they did was illegal. And he explained to the board in both hearings, at 0.25 microns, your exposure over 80 years of life is less than 0.004 teaspoons of diesel particulate matter, which is the equivalent of smoking 5 cigarettes over 80 years.
Wow. So is there an agenda here?
Money.
And they let this information out because?
Well, it's absolutely about money.
And yeah. So explain that about money. How could this be about money? It's got to be about clean air. It's about saving the planet. It's about everything green. Maybe everything's greener in somebody's pocket.
Yeah, it is a lot greener. And like we said, there's a ton of this. And before we really get into the money part, I want to get back into explaining the science.
Okay.
Because through a Freedom of Information Act that was conducted, we have discovered that CARB and EPA conducted human experiments on small particulate matters.
On small children.
Yeah, children as young as the age of 10. So on one hand, you have this agency testifying before Congress that there is absolutely a link to small particulate matter and premature death. There's no safe level of exposure. And then on the other hand, in an attempt to justify their science, they're taking hoses and running them down the throats of 10-year-olds and exposing them to 60 times normal amounts of diesel particulate matter.
And, okay, now this isn't just conjecture. This isn't, wild-eyed conspiracy theorists that have gone off the rails. This isn't coming from Alex Jones' website. Where do you get this information at? And how can people go look it up? Because this is Nuremberg stuff.
Well, that's they have violated what is known as the Nuremberg Treaty, which is an international treaty that came down after some of the experimentation was revealed that the Nazis did on people. And they developed an international code of conduct for conducting human experiments. And CARB has violated that because one of the statute is if there is any kind of health issue, if there's any kind of danger to anybody, you shall not conduct that test.
Wow.
Okay.
And these guys really don't care. I mean, this is the mentality that you're dealing with, is that these guys really don't care. They have an agenda, and the whole green movement, hey, who doesn't want clean air? We all want clean air. But at the cost of what? And at giving the power to who? And who's benefiting from? You know, people just gloss that stuff over because, you know, they're being treated, you know, they're being used as rubes for a bigger movement that has nothing to do with keeping the planet clean. Yeah.
And it is also illegal to conduct human tests on children, period. You can't even ask for the children's consent. You can't ask for the parents' consent.
It's even worse when you don't even ask.
Yeah, you don't have any idea that it's going on.
Well, right. We also got to look at the statements that they were given, the disclosure that they were given. Nowhere does it mention exposure to toxic materials. Nowhere does it mention harmful effects. Nowhere does it mention really what they were doing to these people. And we've come to find out these studies were conducted at 10 different universities in the United States and 6 different international universities.
Well, how do these people justify this? How do these bastards justify this? I mean, you know, so for the good of humanity, we're going to sacrifice some kids?
Well, I think
we've got to go to a break here.
We're at the top of the hour. We'll come back and pick it up on the other side. This is KCNR 1460, home of the Free Fire Media.
Sometimes it hurts so badly I must cry out loud. I am lonely. I am yours. You are mine. You are what you are. Give back your heart.
This is KCNR Shasta Redding.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Ted Cruz is set to announce tomorrow that he will be running for president in 2016. The Texas senator to become the first high-profile Republican formally to enter the presidential contest. His intention to jump into the race was confirmed by a Cruz strategist who spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. Word is he'll make the announcement at a speech at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. The White House is insisting the U.S. remains committed to Israel's security despite growing political differences.
Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu upset the Obama administration with his pre-election statement opposing Palestinian statehood. That prompted the White House to say the U.S. will reevaluate its Mideast peace policy. But spokesman Josh Earnest emphasizes
that will not include a reassessment of our strong and close security cooperation with Israel. That will endure.
Netanyahu has since said he favors a two-state solution if conditions improve. Greg Clugston, SRN News, The White House.
A Brooklyn, New York family in mourning today after a fire kills seven members.
Firefighters arrived within 4 minutes of the alarm, but it was too late. A hot plate left on a kitchen counter for the Sabbath is suspected of starting the fire that raced up the stairs of the two-story home, trapping three girls and four boys, ages 5 to 16, in their bedrooms. Their mother and sister were able to jump out a window to safety and were taken to the hospital in critical condition, suffering from burns and smoke inhalation. Fire investigators found a smoke detector in the basement of the home, but none were found elsewhere in the house. Rhonda Rockstra, SRN News.
It's an Orthodox Jewish family. Funeral services today. The bodies are then going to be taken to Israel for final burial. International Monetary Fund Chief Christine Lagarde is welcoming Beijing's efforts to boost investments outside of China. She refers to the new Beijing-led Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank. This is SRN News.
This is eHarmony founder Dr. Neil Clark Warren. Let's talk about you for a minute. If you're missing the relationship you always thought you'd have, it's time to visit eHarmony.com. If you're wondering what a deeply compatible relationship would feel like, it's time to visit eHarmony.com. You know us. We've been helping create some of the world's happiest couples for the last 13 years. Our commercials are filled with real people talking about how their lives changed forever, for the better, thanks to eHarmony.com. We have over 565,000 marriages to date, and I think it's fair to say that when you're ready for a meaningful relationship, eHarmony.com is the gold standard. So once more, it's time to visit eHarmony.com. Stop waiting. Start communicating for free today.
10 mosques have reopened in Central African Republic's capital, Bangui, as Muslims begin to trickle back home after months of sectarian violence. The country exploded in December 2013 in warfare that left at least 5,000 people dead and forced thousands, mostly Muslims, to flee. The vast majority of the country's mosques, 417 out of 436, were destroyed in the violence between Christians and Muslims, but with UN and French troops working to stabilize the country, the fighting has subsided. About 300 university students gathered outside Taiwan's legislative house today, kicking off a 31-hour demonstration to mark the anniversary of a movement that occupied the island's parliament. The students preparing for a march scheduled for tomorrow around the compound that hundreds of student-led activists occupied for 24 days last March in what became known as the Sunflower Movement. This is SRN News. Medical marijuana for your pet?
Nevada State Senator Tick Segerbloom has introduced a bill that would allow pet owners to get marijuana for their pet if a veterinarian certifies the animal has an illness that might be alleviated by the drug. The Democratic lawmaker acknowledges concern that some animals might suffer adverse reactions, but adds, you don't know until you try. But one of his fellow lawmakers notes that alcohol is bad, chocolate is bad for dogs, and he wonders about the safety of marijuana for animals.
SRN's Rich Thomason reporting. Today is Sunday, March 22nd, the 81st day of 2015. There are 284 days left in the year. On this date in history, 1820, U.S. naval hero Stephen Decatur was killed in a duel with Commodore James Barron here in Washington. And on this date in 1934, the first Masters Golf Tournament opened under the title of the Augusta National Invitational. Horton Smith was the winner. This is SRN News.
Yeah, and I think we're back on the air. We've had a little technical difficulty here. For some reason, the thing that was supposed to fire didn't fire. Can you key up that state's nullification video for me, Bob? You know, I wanted to kind of look at that and then get back into the CARB thing. And, you know, who are the players here before we get to that video? Or have you got it up there, Bob?
Yeah, you wanted to start at 117, yeah. Is that right?
No, it's the whole thing.
The whole thing,
yeah,
okay.
Just do the whole thing. It's only about a minute and a half or something, isn't it?
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's go ahead and cue that up.
All right, here we go.
It was a huge week for the nullification movement, with 12 bills passed by state houses and two more signed into law. Governors in both Wyoming and Arkansas this week signed bills known as the Right to Try Act. Seven states have now passed these laws that allow terminally ill patients to use investigational drugs not permitted by the FDA. Similar bills passed the Oklahoma House this week by a vote of 96-0, and both houses in Montana and Mississippi. In Arizona, a bill to block enforcement of any new federal gun control measure was passed by the state Senate, while a similar bill passed both houses in Montana and is off to the governor's desk soon. The New Hampshire House passed a bill to legalize hemp farming, essentially treating the plant like other agricultural products and effectively nullifying the federal ban on the same. The Montana House also passed a bill to restrict automated license plate readers, helping to block a nationwide license plate tracking program operated by the federal government. And the Arizona House had a big week, passing bills to ban a crucial Obamacare enforcement mechanism, Common Core implementation, and the use of resources to implement unilateral executive orders, federal agency rulemaking, and EPA control over intrastate waters. Stay up to date with all the latest nullification news at 10thAmendmentCenter.com.
Yeah, state nullification in action there. I guess none of that just was worth putting on the evening news or O'Reilly or anything. We'd rather talk about Waters World and you know.
Can't get that information out there so people can know actually what's going on and be informed and know that they can do something about it.
And you can check on all this stuff. It's not like we're making it up.
Yeah, so while we have all of these states pushing back, we've got local officials here telling us the Constitution's too generic to enforce.
Yeah, I mean, the Constitution, really? I mean, didn't Nancy Pelosi say something like that?
Yeah.
Well, I guess it'll be the Constitution, really. Oh, yeah, when you're under federal indictment and ready to go to the gas chamber or something. Oh, really? Yeah, the Constitution. Really?
Well, you can call CARB. They've got the gas chambers.
They've got the gas chambers already for Nancy Pelosi. I'm just saying. So maybe that's who we should be testing the diesel.
Yeah, what's wrong with that? Well, why our children?
Because you can't dumb her down.
They did actually conduct tests on at-risk seniors as well. They took senior citizens with pre-known heart conditions and exposed them to high volumes of exhaust, attempting to provoke a response.
Who are the different players here? I mean, you know, we get the impression that somebody just watched too much Captain Planet here, you know, but kind of run it down to me. What, you know, I mean, you got the believers, you got the money grubbers. Who are these guys?
Well, I think you've got kind of your average American citizen that's not really informed. And they hear the key talking points like clean water, clean air, save the planet for your kids. And that sounds good to everybody, and they just kind of go along. And, you know, when cap and trade went into effect January 1st and California's gas rates are now 80 cents a gallon higher, I saw an interview with a lady at the gas pump, and they asked her, well, what do you think about your gas being higher? And she goes, oh, well, it's necessary to, you know, save the planet for my children, so I don't mind paying a little bit more. Never mind the fact that everything they're doing doesn't do one thing to take a bit of pollution out of the air.
No.
It does nothing. So you've got your uninformed crowd that their heart's in the right place. They just don't really get what's going on.
I think we need to key up Kermit the Frog playing It Ain't Easy Being Green and go from there. So we've got the low information average guy out there who just wants a clean planet, and we could sympathize with that.
And
completely.
They just want to live and go on.
Yeah.
They don't want to be bothered. They just want to live.
Then you have another level.
Soldiers of CARB. Yeah. And those are the guys that are, you know, they're your middle-class American government worker. They're collecting their paycheck, and they're doing what they're told. And that's, you know, they go to work every day, and that's what it is.
Well, and, you know, that's a problem for me. I mean, we've got government guys out there that don't want to rock the boat because they don't want to lose their pension or their job, but they'll sell everybody else down the river while they're at it, and themselves in the process because they don't even get it, because the farther down this river we go, the worse it's going to get, and they'll be lucky if they have a job or a pension by the time we're done.
And at the end of the day, they'll take the "I was just following orders" defense.
Let's see. Where was that? I think Nuremberg. We've heard that before. Oh, yeah, that's right. Someplace else, yeah.
Yeah.
So then you
have got your people that are just absolutely corrupt. They know that all of this is bogus. They know that all of this is illegal. But they also know that nobody is stopping it, and they are making money hand over fist.
Al Gore?
Well, the governor of Oregon that was just taken down by this exact program, Kitzhopper.
Excuse me, I'm sorry, I had a frog.
Yeah.
Fraud in my throat.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's a couple more that need to go in that pool, too.
Well, we can get into that, too, once we draw the picture, is the governor of Oregon just went down over this exact thing that we're talking about.
I thought it was some kind of a sex scandal or something. No.
It's his girlfriend, his fiance, was accepting backdoor loans from huge campaign contributors to ensure that they would get green contracts. So Kitzhopper's passing environmental laws and environmental works projects, and people that are funneling money to him were guaranteed to get the contracts.
That's nothing like what anybody like Dianne Feinstein would do, or Nancy Pelosi, crony.
Well, that's...
Isn't that just freedom? Isn't that just capitalism or not?
No, that's nepotism.
Oh, crony nepotism.
Yeah, crony. And the tentacles go everywhere, because this scandal with Kitzhopper now is reaching the governor of Washington. It's been tracked all the way into Jerry Brown's office here in California. And now it's hitting the...
How come we're not hearing any of this on the place that says they just get the facts right?
I don't know. Maybe they don't have any facts. Right into the provincial capital of British Columbia now, too.
Wow.
This actually crosses international lines. We've got your government workers, and then we've got people like Kitzhopper and some other people that are making money hand over fist on the environmental sham.
I'd change my name if it was Kitzhopper.
And then you have the most dangerous people, people like Mary Nichols, who is the head of CARB. And she's a true believer. I don't know how any other way to put it than this lady is a druid. She is a dirt-worshipping druid that thinks the world would be better off if we were all running around in loincloths living in teepees.
Well, yeah, they had guys like that in Germany, too. I think they were like Goebbels and Himmler. I mean, mm-hmm. they were true believers, you know. I mean, they believed that they had to exterminate everybody for the good of the Reich.
Yeah, that, and that's this lady that is heading up CARB. She is a true believer. She believes in everything that she's doing.
The end justifies the means. I mean, in other words, it doesn't matter how many people get, you know,
at any cost.
At any cost, as long as they get their green agenda in, for what purpose?
To save the planet.
And that's very scary. She really believes in what she's doing. And then when you were talking about the first,
that's
levels,
a lot of pressure.
The people, they don't even question anything. That's they just go along with the program. So you get somebody like that, and they're going, yeah, yeah, it's all good.
They don't even think about it.
Every
Saturday morning, Captain Planet for 30 years, mm-hmm. and now she believes that she has to save the planet. And what kind of pressure is she under? Oh, it doesn't matter. If we don't save the planet, we're all dead anyway.
That's it.
Wow.
So now you get into understanding why these people would carry out human tests on something like this, because you have people that are willing to do whatever to make money off of it, and then you have people like Mary Nichols, who is a true believer and will save the planet at any cost.
No matter how many people she kills.
Exactly.
Hmm. So, interesting. You hate to keep coming back to Nazi Germany, but doesn't this theme, I mean, these themes are pretty similar, you know?
I know nothing. Nothing.
And falls right in and step with Obamacare with all of that.
It does. Seizure of the health care.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So now we know all of this is going on. And then we started listening to evidence about health and public safety. Because all of these filters that are going on to diesel rigs are basically a fuel air bomb. And what a fuel air bomb is you take a combustible organic material, in this case carbon, and you ignite it at a high temperature in a sealed area, and it burns very hot and very rapidly, but it also superheats the air around it. Which is all well and good unless a crack appears and that becomes exposed to oxygen and then you have a catastrophic detonation. And lo and behold, most of these filters are right next to the gas tank or right next to the diesel tank on these big rigs. Then we heard testimony from CHP officers and DOT personnel. None of these have ever been safety tested. None of these have ever been vetted and DOT certified as safe to go on these rigs. And we heard testimony from CHP officers that they believe up to 5 fires a week are being caused in big rigs and buses because of these filters.
Right. And they're not going to take that analysis back to CARB. You know, CARB, we were talking about like on 9/11,
mm-hmm.
how it pollutes the air. But that's against them, showing that their own filters, you know.
Well, the CARB is refusing to look at the data. They're refusing to release the data. And these basically what's happening is you have California Highway Patrol DOT officials that are looking at these catastrophic fires and going, hey, these filters are causing this. And CARB's going, no, they're not. Go back and do the report again.
So yeah. They're above the law. And I mean, and where's the Department of Justice when you need them? Yeah,
that's a good question. So we get into this and now we start looking at cap and trade. Okay. Cap and trade is basically where CARB is determining how much carbon is too much for oil refineries, oil producers, fuel producers, things like this are producing over a certain amount. Okay. Nobody has seen the formula, how they figure out how much is too much, how much you're allowed, things like this. So to mitigate this, these agencies have to buy carbon credits. Now, what is a carbon credit?
It's a air that you need to fix because you are a polluter and you need to pay for it?
Yeah, it's air.
Air.
Okay.
So you have to buy air.
So you have to buy air. You have to buy clean air. And then CARB determines who has clean air and who you can buy it from. And then you put this clean air out on the open market, and these people have to purchase it.
There's no movement. In an auction style. What do they do? Suck it up into a big giant tank and then redistribute it? Or is this just a bunch of BS?
It's complete hocus pocus. Okay. As an example, Lake County, California has the second cleanest air in the country, but they don't have any carbon credits because they're considered unhealthy.
And why are they unhealthy?
Poverty.
Poverty makes you unhealthy?
Poverty makes you unhealthy. It leads to all kinds of social disease. It leads to health problems.
Where do you get clean air that you can buy?
Well, currently at this time, Quebec.
Quebec. Oh.
Yeah.
And so why would he be buying air from Quebec?
And how do we get it?
You don't. You're paying Quebec to not do anything to keep the clean air. Okay, and this is where it gets really, really good, because you have CARB, that is a public agency, that has gone and established a private corporation called Western Climate Initiative, incorporated in Delaware. Okay.
Okay.
So if anybody can explain to me how a public agency can establish a private corporation, would love to know that.
But they're really not a government agency. They're an NGO, a non-government agency. Is CARB a non-government agency or is it a government agency?
No, it's a government agency.
It is a government agency.
They're a department of the California
Environment. Depends on what day it is.
Okay, so,
which court case are we talking about?
So they're a government agency that sets up a private corporation in Delaware. How is that legal?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out their justification.
Isn't this money laundering?
$1.5 billion worth at current. I have made probably 15 phone calls to the Western Climate Initiative's office in Delaware and Sacramento trying to get somebody to talk to me. They will not return my phone calls.
Hmm.
And so we have this private corporation that the treasurer is Mary Nichols. Okay.
So she's isn't that convenient?
Yeah. So you've got the lady that is the head of making these laws.
So you got the money coming from the state of California to the California Air Resources Board and being funded to a private corporation in Delaware
who
the head of the California Air Resources Board just happens to be the treasurer of.
Yes. And
are they stupid too?
These people are so arrogant. They think they can get away with this.
They can do whatever they want. Well, then maybe they can, because guess what?
Well, they're doing it.
Nobody's prosecuting them. I think we have a caller on the line.
Yeah. Billy, are you there this morning?
Yes.
You got a question for us?
Yes. I wondered who's manufacturing these filters for the diesels, the ones that are supposed to recoup the carbon or burn it off. Who's manufacturing it, and who's behind the corporation or whatever that's producing it? And I'll take my answer off the air.
All right, thank you.
There are several different companies that are manufacturing these filters, and what's cute about it, what we're running into, is these companies get set up, they do a manufacturing run, the filters fail, the truckers come back for their warranty come back and say, hey, your faulty equipment burned my rig up. By that time, this filter company has closed up shop, moved on, and another filter company has showed up with a different model. These filter companies do not stay in business very long. And
why is that?
One, I don't want to speak about too much because I'm still in the middle of vetting the information, but there is good reason to believe that when the filters first started going, there was one company that made filters. The majority stockholder was the husband of a California assemblywoman.
Jeez. I mean, and this is called freedom and capitalism. No, it's not. No, it's not. It's called cronyism.
Well, I would say it was the mafia, but even the mafia is smart enough not to kill what they're stealing.
Where's
from.
The mafia music, Bob? We need mafia music. I mean, we need the... Yeah.
It's just amazing how deep this stuff goes.
that's investigative reporting.
Well, that works too. We're kind of doing that too.
This is investigative reporting that I guess getting the facts right doesn't matter.
No.
Why isn't this mainstream news? Why isn't this on the Channel 7? Why isn't this in the paper? Why? What the hell's going on?
Well, geez, Mark, what do you want to do? Bump pet of the week?
Oh, well.
Move along.
Please disperse. Nothing to see here, please.
That's no kidding.
It's not there because they got to work. They would actually have to do with their journalism to find out what's going on, and they don't do that.
No, but nobody's running illegal tests on children. Nobody's funneling money to a private corporation in Delaware. What's the problem here?
Well, with our local paper, if the Associated Press doesn't investigate it for them to print it, they don't know anything about it.
I hate
and
the,
it gets cuter.
I got a flashlight. I mean, excuse me.
And this whole situation gets cuter because now you have this private corporation that's being run by the same people that are creating the rules that make the private corporation necessary to funnel the money. It's one hand shaking the other. The president of this corporation is a gal named Toni Atkinson, who is the majority leader of the Delaware Assembly. Okay. Her wife is a gal named April Lashear, who happens to be one of the Bank of America financiers who got tagged in the mortgage bundling scam.
No, say it ain't so. It's leading back to the bankers? No, can't be.
Well, that's exactly what it is. And you're cross-border because Manitoba signed on to this, Quebec signed on to this. Canada is selling us clean air.
Bill O'Reilly says that you're against capitalism if you're not for this. I mean, that's what he always says. It's like, oh, gee, you're against capitalism because you hate the banks. Wait a minute.
What do banks have to do with capitalism?
Well, they're central banks or B of A or Wall Street or Goldman Sachs. Oh yeah, they wouldn't do anything wrong like control our government through covert means and
Thomas
money.
Jefferson say that the centralized bank is more dangerous to the people than a standing
army?
Yeah,
I believe he said that he felt that banks were more dangerous to people than standing armies. And if the American people ever allow a private bank to issue the currency, they'll wake up homeless in the lands their fathers conquered through deflation and then inflation and the large corporations and banks that would spring up around them. Just saying.
Yeah, what you said.
Yeah, that was it.
I just want to say this. We got somebody in the chat room that says Channel 7 hardly does any Redding or Shasta County news anymore. So
yeah,
what do you expect?
It's about Chico, yeah. I mean,
you know.
Yeah, let's
just saying.
So now,
I guess we're the redheaded stepchild, even though you are redheaded, Red.
I know. It's okay. God gave me big shoulders for a reason.
It's true. So... You know, so this stuff is just unbelievable. And what's unbelievable to a lot of people is that they black this stuff out.
They
just black it out, and then people go, well, it can't be credible because it didn't get into the record searchlight. Or, where's Channel 7 on this? And O'Reilly didn't say anything about it.
Right.
And, by the way, Anderson Cooper, he ex-CIA spy, he didn't say anything about it either.
Well,
so
that's,
it can be true.
You have to go and do your own digging. I mean, we were sitting in some of these evidentiary hearings with elected officials who didn't know what was going on.
You mean you actually have to use your own brain and not someone else's to disseminate information and figure out what's going on?
You've got to go dig through it yourself.
I just want to be told what to do.
Well,
how's that
going to
work
that.
For you?
And
it's not working well.
I'm going to go home and watch Captain Planet one more time.
We ourselves had no idea what we were getting into when we picked up this car.
Gosh, it's incredible.
You know,
hate to make fun of it, but it's like, unbelievable.
It's like out of a bad detective serial.
It is.
It's we're here to help the dame that showed up in the office, and it turns into some global cabal over stolen artwork from Nazi Germany or some weird
thing. Is there a falcon involved somewhere?
You know, and literally we thought that we were getting into a procedural fight with a heavy-handed government agency. And now we're looking at this thing going, oh, my God, we're dealing with an international ongoing criminal organization.
We still don't have the mafia music up yet, but, yeah. I mean, it's true. I mean, that's what we're dealing with is organized crime. And that's what the government has turned into. That's why the founding fathers warned us that government was the worst evil in the history of mankind, period. You wanted a limited government with limited resources, with enumerated power, so they couldn't bleed over into controlling every aspect of our lives for their own benefit.
And we fell asleep, and guess what happened?
Well, gee, I'm not sure that that's hard to understand.
Okay, this private company, this Western Climate Initiative Incorporated, cap and trade program, selling, buying and selling clean air. Take a guess how much this private company's taken in so far.
Billions.
Oh, I want to say millions and millions, except that we're not on this isn't Austin Powers anymore. You know, it's billions and billions.
We have tracked $1.5 billion so far that this private company has taken in. Now, here's the crazy thing, and I'm still trying to figure out how this works, and I really don't think it does work, is why I can't figure it out. You have a public agency who has set up a private corporation, supposedly that is owned by the public that controls the agency, but they won't tell you anything and you're not a stockholder, that is collecting money for a government program from other governments, then takes that money and redistributes it to the government. Out of that cap and trade money, 25% of that goes to the high-speed rail program. 25% of that goes to environmental justice, which is sue and settle cases.
Wow, social justice again. Hey, it sounds like they've modeled themselves out of the Federal Reserve System. Maybe that's where they got the template.
And there's 50% of that $1.5 billion. We're trying to figure out, where is it? Where is it going?
I guess we probably need to go to a break here sooner or later.
I guess we will do that. If you want to call in, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, Community Radio for the North State.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport or the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
It's Ladybot and the Bluebirds, April 2nd in Elements Lounge at Wind River Resort and Casino. You'll hear Pat Karch on keyboards, Bruce Kalin on bass, Bobby Veramontes on drums, and special guest Joe Larson on trombone. Oh yeah, and me, Linda Bott, on vocals. Join us as we swing to some of the best music from the American Songbook, 7 to 9 p.m., April 2nd. Call 243-3377 for reservations. See you there.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
Safari Club International, the leader in protecting the freedom to hunt and promoting wildlife conservation worldwide. On Saturday, May 2nd, join the Reading chapter for their 21st annual banquet to raise funds so the vital work of protecting our hunting heritage and educating youth can continue. Beginning at 5 p.m. at the Wind River Event Center, join a fun-packed evening with games, auctions, drawings, lots of guns, and your choice of a tri-tip or chicken dinner. Safari Club International of Reading is currently planning hunts regionally and for African game, and you can find out about these and all the activities of SCI and have a great time Saturday, May 2nd. For tickets, visit scireading.org or call 530-524-3252. That number again, 524-3252. The 21st annual fundraising banquet for the Reading Regional Chapter of Safari Club International. Tickets, 524-3252.
Dandelion Gift and Apparel is a unique boutique in the very heart of downtown Reading. It's on Market Street, just down the block from Kobe Steakhouse. When you step into Dandelion, you have your own personal shopper. At Dandelion, they deliver that personal touch just to help you find the right item. Dandelion is open 10 to 5:30 weekdays and 10 to 5 on Saturday. So head downtown for stylish clothing, gifts, and accessories you just won't find at the mall. Dandelion. Yeah, that's it. Dandelion.
Hi, I'm Kayla, and they call me the Mouse.
And I'm Red, they call me the Bear. How's California working out for you? Want to change it for the better?
Wake up to your chemical sunrise and tune in to the Jefferson State of Mind.
We'll be discussing representation, regulations, and restoring our republic.
Catch us here every Sunday morning from 8 to 9.
On KCNR 1460.
I feel no shame, I'm proud of where I came from. I was born and raised in the boondocks.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Well, Kathy and I have kind of given up on winter. This warm weather means ethanol-free 93 for all the blowers, weed eaters, and lawnmowers. And start filling those barbecue bottles. We have clear and red diesel at all of our plants. Talk to Sherry if you need CFN or fleet-wide cards, which are accepted over 40,000 locations in the U.S. The delivery trucks are starting to fill tanks for construction and loggers who are starting back to work. So give Danny a call. Northern Lights Energy. We deliver all the products that we sell, or you can pick up at the plant at three locations. Johnny and Bobby got two more used heaters ready to go. If you'd like a free quote, give us a call. Northern Lights Energy, the old-fashioned way, one customer at a time. In Corning, see Robin, Weaverville, see Joe, and Redding, the rest of us. 241-2196, and thanks a lot.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Ted. Uncle Ted.
All right. Gotta love Uncle Ted.
I like Uncle Ted. Listen.
Like we're not on fire already.
Yeah, that's the name of that song is Stranglehold.
Yeah, I know, but we're already on fire and, yeah.
I want to go hunting with Uncle Ted.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
That'd be fun.
I got a little story here just in the name of transparency. This is, from the most transparent administration in the history of our government. The Obama administration exempts White House office from FOIA. For you laymen out there, that's Freedom of Information Act request. So the most transparent administration in the history of our country has now passed an executive order here saying that the Freedom of Information Act does no longer applies to their administration. Of course, that's in the name of transparency.
Let's see. Yeah.
And because look what we've got here. Although the most offices in the White House have been legally exempt from Freedom of Information Act for decades, the Office of Administration has answered them for 30 years. So Tom Fitton of Justice Watch told USA Today that this is an office that is operating under the FOIA for 30 years and until it became politically inconvenient, and then they decided they just weren't subject to the Freedom of Information Act anymore. So you guys have a king. The emperor's clothes are off. He's naked to the world. Oh my God! Stop. And so we've got Obama. All hell, Obama. He is our savior, and this is what we're getting. We're getting more and more government. And
maybe he's just taking an air bath in his carbon credit.
I think that's what you do. And of course, the media and the pundits and the minions and the rubes are all like, what a great guy.
He wants to save our planet help us.
It doesn't matter if he takes total control, and maybe he just decides, through executive order to go because he's bypassed Congress on so many things that, hey, I don't feel like going on the next term. We've already taken Hillary out of the equation.
But maybe
I should just stick around.
How does a single man in the United States of America seize control? I mean, he'd have to do stuff like take control of your health care, the transportation industry, start seizing your police forces. I mean, come
yeah,
on.
make the legislative and the judicial branches impotent, and so that they have no rule, you know, no force of law because it doesn't matter what they say. We just override it with executive rule. What could go wrong?
Yeah, I mean, all of that has to happen before he could do something like that.
Well, not in America. That's all. You're pipe dreaming stuff. It would never happen here, could it?
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's go back and talk about, you know, obviously these stories have been going into the Shasta Lantern because they're the only ones that actually care about the truth locally anyway that I can determine as far as print.
Well, we've got a couple of other people that are on board with us now that have been helping with the Lantern, and another really great organization is Katie Grimes and Flash Report.
Oh.
And they've been – you want some good info on what's going on in California? That's another good source. And she's been all over this CARB thing. She's especially covered the tie between Kitzhoper and Jerry Brown over this pay-to-play environmental policy.
So with that, let's talk about our local heroes. We've got, you know, the McConnell Foundation, the paragon of virtue that helps the community out on every level. They fund parks and exploratorium museums and buy up all of the land in Siskiyou County and pretty much run the show.
And you meant Shasta too, County?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So they're great guys. And so they're not selling carbon credits or anything, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all those things are worth carbon credits.
Wow.
So McConnell actually holds carbon credits in Nepal and Kenya as well.
And I think that's even on their website, isn't it? They actually admit to this. So, but that doesn't matter. Captain Planet is going to show up here pretty soon and save us all.
Well, the McConnell Foundation actually earns carbon credits in Kenya through the Kenyan Clean Water Project. They fund clean water wells with solar-powered water pumps.
Isn't that a good thing?
According to some people that I've talked to, the solar-powered water pumps are chump and don't work.
But don't we want to have solar-powered water pumps in Kenya and Nepal?
Well, yeah, and then you can sell Kenya's clean air back to American fuel producers and energy producers.
And where does the most – how do they benefit if we're buying pumps and solar deals in Kenya? I mean, if that's where the money's going, isn't that a good thing?
I don't know. kind of like a deer in the headlights that way on that one because I don't see how that works. And, you know, the money is going right back to the foundation on the carbon credits.
No, say it isn't so.
It is.
Okay. Do we have any local other players here that might be involved in this thing?
Well, one of the big ones that we're going to start running stories in the Shasta Lantern is Glenn Hawes and the Stillwater Mitigation Bank.
Oh, so we have a mitigation bank. What is a mitigation bank?
Basically, if you want to do anything, build anything in Shasta County or the surrounding areas, you have to have an environmental impact study that is set up by the counties. Okay? They come out and they assess your project, and then they find out what your environmental impact is. Then you have to mitigate that environmental impact. Say you want to build a chapel in a winery, just for an example. And the county shows up to assess that and says that that chapel is on fairy shrimp habitat.
There's fairy shrimp up at Anselmo's?
There could be.
Who's Anselmo? I was just using that as a hypothetical.
Never mind. Oh. He's not here anymore anyway.
Oh, well, as a hypothetical, say you've got this winery that's built a chapel, and that chapel is built on Vale fairy shrimp habitat. Okay, well, now you have to mitigate that. Okay. So how do you mitigate that? Well, you have to go find yourself a mitigation bank. The only one in Northern California up here happens to be the Stillwater Plains Mitigation Bank owned by Glenn Hawes.
It's a private company?
It's a private company.
Once again, we have a
government that went private?
It is a private mitigation bank that is overseen by Fish and Wildlife.
How the hell did they get in this thing?
Because
of the shrimp. Well, I mean, come on.
Well, that and the longhorn elderberry beetle and the yellow frog and all of these other things. Okay, so Another good example is there was a contractor here that built a parking lot in Reading. They expanded the parking lot. They did an environmental impact study, and they found that it was destroying two shrubs, which happened to be longhorn elderberry beetle habitat. So you have to go to the mitigation bank, and you have to pay them to preserve a certain amount of land in that mitigation bank and the certain kind of shrubberies that could possibly at a later date become elderberry longhorn beetle habitat. Oh, by the way, two shrubs, it's about $375,000. Thank you very much. And then you can build your parking lot.
And the money goes to Nepal and Kenya?
No, the money goes to the Stillwater Mitigation Bank.
Oh.
Now, the Stillwater Mitigation Bank makes donations to certain local foundations that will start naming names in the Shasta Lantern, who happen to be the largest campaign contributors for two of our Board of Supervisor members.
No, say it isn't so. This isn't a money laundering machine to get people elected in Reading.
They wouldn't do that. It's not political.
We got Daniel on the line in here, I think.
I think he wants to make a comment.
Do we have a comment?
Good morning, there? Daniel.
Well, good morning. How are you?
We're doing good. How about you?
The fun never stops.
I'm magnificent. Yeah, I was watching on the news, and Oregon has brought this thing in where you have to plug in a device so they can keep track of how many miles you're driving.
And I did see that.
Yeah, it's also in a pilot program in California. There's 5,000 California drivers doing that right now as well.
Exactly, and the reason for that is we're actually doing so well in improving our fuel mileage and the electric cars and all that, that they're losing revenue. So they need to find a way to get the revenue back. So lo and behold, we got these bureaucrats and politicians are saying, well, they're still driving that many miles, so let's just take it out another way. So that's how they're doing it.
Yeah, unbelievable.
There you go. And there's a lot of interesting things going on in Oregon. We could probably spend a whole other segment on the fact that Oregon is going to be setting up automatic registration for voters. You don't even have to register to vote now. Oregon's just going to register for you.
Oh, and they're going to pick your political party and everything for you, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, they've already done that, as a matter of fact. But, you know, the sad thing that I'm watching is the former governor up there is also a Marine. And, he learned better when he was a Marine how to be honorable. So, you know, he's sullied his service as far as I'm concerned.
Well, absolute power corrupts absolutely, is the old saying. Lord Atkin, Acton.
There you go. Yeah. But anyway, that's all I had to say, folks.
All right, thanks, Daniel.
All right,
Daniel.
Well, thank you for calling in.
With Kitzhaber, you're talking millions of dollars worth of.
Ken, I want to get back locally here. You know, there was a story that was running the flashlight, the record searchlight, and agency head alleges commissioner violated privacy and public meeting laws. Isn't this our friend Mr. Less?
Yes, that would be Pastor Baugh.
Less is more?
Yeah.
Or no, I mean Less Baugh. Yeah, I don't have the whole story here because I refuse to pay the record searchlight any money at this point.
The whole story is that LAFCO, okay,
LAFCO.
which is a big organization here in Shasta County.
What's that stand for?
We may not want to know.
I can't remember the exact acronym. I bet you Linda can.
We'll bring it up. Go ahead,
bring
Red.
Bring it up if I can.
Yeah. So anyways, they hired an outside person to help on a backlog of mandatory reports. And apparently Les Ball went after her.
LAFCO is Local Agency Formation Commission of Shasta County.
Yes.
That looks like a governmental agency.
Well, it's
subdivision of the state of California.
Yeah. So it's an agency that forms other agencies.
Wow. They got an agency to form other agencies. Who formed this agency, I wonder?
I don't know.
And Pastor Baugh is actually...
one of the commissioners. Should we read who the commissioners are?
Yeah.
Les Baugh.
Oh, I'm shocked.
Actually, Les Baugh just resigned.
Oh, David Kehoe. Wow.
Under pressure, I wonder.
Pam Giacomini, or however.
Isn't that the Board of Supervisors and the City Council?
It is.
Oh, no. Alternative Commissioner.
It's the Board of Supervisors, right?
Rick Bassetti.
Oh, wait a minute. There is a City Council, ex-City Council in there.
Larry Farr, Stephen Morgan, Brenda Haynes.
Hmm. What's going on?
Really? James Yarbrough's in there, too.
Not to name any names, and we're not sure what's going on at all, because that's why we're doing some investigative reporting here. Maybe you can enlighten us into what's going on with Mr. Les Baugh.
Well, apparently...
Thank you, Bob.
Right on cue.
Apparently, Mr. Baugh made some comments to a reporter regarding a contractee of LAFCO. It was a gal that had been contracted by LAFCO to help clear a backlog of required quarterly reports, I believe, of what LAFCO's doing. And he made some comments that are apparently a violation of the Brown Act regarding her personal expenses and things like that were just really kind of.
So, in other words, he made some comments that were public or something?
Yeah, he actually spoke to two different reporters about something that's supposed to be confidential.
Impugning her credibility, impugning her reputation, what?
Yeah, it's apparently caused her harm in because she has to maintain a certain amount of credibility and discretion, and you know her good name is how she goes to different government agencies and gets hired to help them with their paperwork and clear things. And basically, Les Baugh kind of accused her of stealing public funds, which turns out she didn't.
Turns out she didn't.
And which has damaged her credibility and ability to work is kind of what the whole shakedown on that's going on. And
so it sounds to me like you play ball our way or.
Yeah, they go after you.
Yeah, interesting.
So
yeah, but and, hey, you know, Les Baugh's a great guy. I mean, he wouldn't do anything.
No, he's not.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It says planning for the future needs of the communities.
Yeah, he wouldn't lie to the Declaration Committee or anything about supporting it until they got to
an
open session
lied.
And the Board of Supervisors meeting or anything like that, would he?
He lied publicly.
I guess if you're a pastor, then you couldn't be subject to that kind of thing. I can't think of anybody like that. James Baker, Jimmy Swaggart. I don't know. I mean, anybody that would actually have
Sharpton.
Al Sharpton.
Oops,
no,
sorry.
I mean, if you're a pastor of a community church, you're above reproach, aren't you?
No.
No.
No, not when you're a liar and you've done so publicly.
Wow. And here I thought you dashed all my illusions of theological.
No. There are people on our Board of Supervisors that are not good people. And a lot of that is going to start to come out. And, you know, we've been talking about it for 6 months that we have some information that we wanted to bring forward, but we wanted to wait until the time could be done about it. And there are county laws that you cannot ask for a recall of a Board of Supervisor during the last 6 months of their tenure. And then you cannot ask for a recall of a Board of Supervisor member during the first 90 days of their new sitting. So we've had to wait until March to some of these guys are available to ask for a recall.
Wow. I mean, we make a lot of fun here and so forth. And I don't want to give anybody out there the impression that I just throw in stones because I can. But, you know, these guys have, you know, shown and demonstrated time after time after time that they're not doing the people's business. They're doing their business. I mean, you look at the state of Jefferson, what's going on with that. You look at every issue that has been brought before the city council, public comment. I mean, they're not operating in the best people's interest. I mean, people's best interest. You look at the state of Jefferson, it was like 300 and something to 4, and they cited that they had people that didn't like the state of Jefferson, so they're going to go that way. What about all the people that did?
Well, they voted. They didn't even want to listen to the presentation. They didn't want to know anything about it.
So, why do you think that was?
And we have their emails of the discussion that went on back and forth. We know who submarined it. We know who was meeting electronically in a meeting of more than three that forms a quorum. That's in a violation.
Isn't that a violation
of
the Brown Act? We need a Brown Act music. Do we got to go to a
break?
A break?
We need to go to a break.
We're almost out of time, and the session's over. So we go to break.
Okay. If you want to call in and have a question or comment, the number here is 530-605-4567. This is Community Radio for the North State.
No matter what you are, I will always be with you. Does no matter what you do, girl, we'll go with you.
Whether it's a 7-year-old battling cancer, a dad injured in a car accident, or me, a mom of two saved by blood transfusions. Every 3 seconds, someone is in need of blood. You don't have to be a doctor, a firefighter, or a police officer to save lives like mine. Donating blood makes you a hero. Contact Blood Centers of the Pacific at our own Reading Shasta Blood Center, 221-0600.
Oh no, dirty carpets! So I call Preferred Carpet Care. You know they've been voted the best of the North State, and now my carpets look like new. Preferred Carpet Care, clean, efficient, and professional. I love the way my carpets look. Remember the number.
243-8400. Preferred Carpet Care.
Our culture of compassionate, patient-centered quality healthcare is our mission at Shasta Regional Medical Center. Providing superior clinical excellence across a wide array of specialties is why Shasta Regional is ranked as one of America's top 100 hospitals for the second year in a row and named again as a top 50 cardiovascular hospital. We are proud to be recognized as a leader for quality care and patient outcomes and for our commitment to treating people well in our community. Taking a kinder, more gentle approach to wellness is an important part of healthcare. We strive to make minimally invasive diagnostic and treatment decisions whenever possible, helping patients receive the best care available, resulting in quicker recovery and a rapid return to normal activities. At Shasta Regional, our physicians, nurses, and staff emphasize treating the whole person and not simply the ailment, resulting in the highest level of care. We know medical care can change the body, but treating people well can change lives.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Oral-B presents an electric toothbrush so advanced, it doesn't just remove more plaque, it even...
Yeah, I love that song. 38 Special. Hey, we're back, and we have a caller on the line from San Diego. We've got John, and we're curious to hear what you have to say, John.
Good morning, John.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I just, based on what one of the recent callers asking about the carbon filter manufacturers, reminded me of a situation down here where someone has manufactured these yellow... kind of bumpy sort of things. Supposedly they're for blind people, so when they get to the end of a sidewalk, they can feel it or see it or something. But obviously, you know, I mean, how many blind people are really walking up and down the streets? So, you know, I want to find out, you know, who made these things? Because someone got the contract, and somebody got a favor out of that, because... there's one on every corner of every sidewalk in all San Diego. I'm talking millions of these things. So the idea I had was, and this is, could go for any sort of investigation work anybody wanted to do. If you go to a website like Kickstarter, the way you get in there and ask for money, it's a win-win situation because you have to post a video, tell the people why you're asking for the money, what you're doing with it, and... whether or not you get it is one thing, but they've already seen the video. It's already opened someone's eyes as to what's going on. So whether or not you get funded to do the project or not, the investigational project or not, you've already opened eyes to millions of people. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, if you want to find that information, it should be a matter of public record.
Well, and I know.
I'm curious if they're for blind people. Why do they have to paint them a certain color?
Well,
for
just
the
in case.
That aren't blind. For the people that aren't blind, obviously.
If it's like here in Shasta County with the sidewalks for the wheelchairs and stuff, it all went back to the county.
Well, and there's a contractor out there that made a lot of money
and
off of
that. Contractor,
you know?
Who
gets awarded all these contracts? That's the question.
Are these like road turtles and kind of painted the same way with the reflective, like they reflect light really well at night?
Well, there's no reflective quality to them at all. They're just, it's like a bumpy yellow mat made of some rigid plastic.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we know what you're talking about.
And if you're riding a skateboard along and you hit those things, you're falling. If you're riding roller skates or anything else, you're falling when you hit them. So you're doing more damage to more people than you are helping somebody.
Yeah, that could be kind of dangerous if you're in a wheelchair, too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter unless you're blind, see?
Yeah.
And getting the contract.
Yeah. But, no, you should be able to go to your local road department and get a copy of who did the work and how much they were paid for it.
Yeah, maybe go do that for us, John. Give us a call back next week or something and let us know what you found out.
I will do. And one last thing. I did find out how much they spent on the new bathroom project down at the beach over here.
Yeah.
Oh.
$700,000 to remodel a bathroom that already had all the infrastructure in place. All the plumbing and electric was there. They tore down the old one, put up a new one. $700,000.
It's all for our own good.
Shovel
they
ready.
They had to do it.
All right. Listen, we got to go. We're running out of time
here.
Thanks, John. And, you know, again, it's the end of the segment here. We're done. We're off. So remember, amateurs built the Ark, professionals built the Titanic. Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. It is force, and force like fire is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. George Washington said that. And you've been listening to Sovereign Mind Radio, where we put principles above parties.
And this has been KCNR 1460, home of the community radio.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
The news comes from a strategist for the first-term Republican senator who spoke to the AP on condition of anonymity. Cruz is 44 years old. He'll be the first high-profile candidate to formally launch, though several other GOP contenders are expected to get into the race officially very soon. The seven siblings who died in New York City in a blaze in the Orthodox Jewish community will be buried in Israel. New York Assemblyman Dov Hyken says the father is devastated.
It's just an absolute horror to him. I mean, he went away on Friday, and he came back and basically lost his entire family, and two of his wife and child in the hospital in serious condition.